I'm Bob Bolton from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and this is Alaska Voices, a place for communities to connect through conversation in order to build a better tomorrow for Alaskans and the world.
Originally, I grew up in Gakona, Alaska.
Tyonek.
Egypt.
Idaho.
Grand Pard.
St. Lawrence Island.
St. Paul.
And I'm here with my student,
my science buddy.
My teacher.
My homie.
I'm his daughter.
I am Martin Miller. And I am interviewing my mentee and friend, Taylor Goffstein.
My name is Taylor Goffstein. I'm 24 years old. I am speaking with my mentor and friend, Martin Miller.
Taylor, in our last conversation, we talked about how you got interested in science, decided to become a scientist, some of your experiences along the way. Since that conversation, you took a workshop. What was that workshop about?
That workshop was about leadership with a particular focus on women in science, as well as minorities, particularly Alaska Natives.
Why that target audience?
Well, women are underrepresented in science. There's what's called the leaky pipeline for women, where you begin in college and you have so many women that are taking courses in science and getting a degree. But then when they move on to graduate school, that number becomes smaller. And then when they move on to faculty positions or research positions, that number becomes even smaller. And there's a lot of different reasons why that is. Some of it being a climate that isn't encouraging women in science, such as microaggressions, a bad work environment. Difficulty with family planning is often a really big concern.
Does this affect you as a mentor?
It can, because I feel as a mentor, it's important for me to advocate for my students. Especially as undergraduates, you really do feel like you're at the bottom and you have no power.
What was the most important thing you took away from this leadership workshop?
It's very simple, but the notion that everyone has their own truth. They're going to come from different environments. They're going to perceive situations differently. Because of that, you need to be sensitive of those things and not have a mindset that there is only one way that things are perceived or things are done. I grew up in a very urban environment that is extremely multicultural and racially diverse, and I'm very proud of that. But at the same time, I'm white, and I was not as destitute as some of my peers, and I often ask myself, would I have experienced the same opportunities in my lifetime if I was not white? If I did not speak English as a first language, because that's a huge barrier for a lot of people from my hometown, is if you don't speak English very well, people will judge you. They will give you a hard time. They will not want to work with you. And I don't reflect on those questions to fuel my own guilt on them, but rather use it as a context to reframe my thinking, to remember that I have been very privileged and not everyone has had these privileges. What if I was from a rural community, such as Utqiagvik up north or Kaltag, Alaska, where I wouldn't have access to the education that I had received learning analytical chemistry at 15 years old? But I think we should live in a world where everyone can have that opportunity. And that's one of the reasons why I disseminate science, regardless of background, because every individual should have the right to science and science being accessible to them in a way that they understand.
You've also mentioned native learning versus Western learning and incorporating traditional knowledge and observation into your work. Would you expand on that a little bit?
When I did the camp this summer with students up in Utqiagvik. They were high school students from all over Alaska, and the grades were not necessarily there, but the passion in these students' eyes, the way they lit up from looking at the simplest things under the microscope. A lot of our students were very quiet or didn't talk a lot, but that didn't mean that there wasn't anything going on. The gears were turning. It's just that they weren't used to being asked, what do you think of this? What are your thoughts on this? Or writing it down. Whereas Western learning is very different. Asking questions, barraging with questions, writing everything out. That doesn't necessarily mean that the student is understanding or reflecting upon the material or what that means to the student. Because when we would go back and read their notebooks, some of our quietest students would have the most profound reflections on what we were doing. Another thing that we did up at the camp was bring in elders from the community when we were talking about climate change. So this was a very special opportunity for all of us to learn what have they seen in the past 50 years. And it allowed the students to reflect on their own experiences as well.
Taylor, thank you for asking me to interview you before and after the workshop. It's been an interesting experience, and I really appreciate you letting me be part of it.
Thank you.
Alaska Voices builds bridges by creating a space where community members, friends, policymakers, and scientists can share stories and place-based knowledge. This project was developed in partnership with StoryCorps and was funded by the Alaska Climate Adaptation Science Center. Additional funding was provided by the University of Alaska Fairbanks Chancellor through a generous gift from the Bentley Family Trust. Alaska Voices would not be possible without the help and efforts of an amazing group of people. Our producer and audio engineer is Kelsey Skomberg of Mossy Stone Media. Our podcast and outreach specialist is Michael DeLue. And our website designer is Carolyn Rosner. If you are interested in more conversations or information, please visit our website at alaskavoices.org.